Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to all of you listening to the sound of my voice. This is Elder Gerald Livingston, and I am Pastor Mean Livingston today. We'll have a topic that we believe is of utmost interest and crucial. It concerns the seven churches of Revelation spoken in the book of Revelation. There were seven different churches that Christ spoke about, and the reason he spoke of them this way was because all of these churches had worldly characteristics in them, and they really weren't fulfilling what God wanted the church to come to in terms of its accountability with the presentation of the gospel to the nations. Now, the name of these churches were Ephesus, then we had Smyrna, next was Pergamum, then was Thyatira, then was Sardis, then was Philadelphia. And the word Philadelphia means, we have a city in the United States called Philadelphia, and it's supposed to mean the city of brotherly love, okay? But when you study Philadelphia, you'll see other things going on in and out of the Lord. And Laodicea. Now, the only true church, now you have to understand that the body of Christ is a living organism. It's a living organism that consists of believers who have more or less sold themselves out to the cause of Christ and the gospel. Now, if a person or individual or group of people say that they are Christians, but in terms of their everyday agenda, if they are not sold out to the gospel in terms of how they present themselves, how they carry themselves, and how they follow what is written of in the Word of God with regard to how we should conduct our conduct and our integrity, then they are not really part of the body of Christ. To put it bluntly, they're liars. Okay? Now, when you deal with the seven churches, we got churches throughout our country and throughout the world where people say they come to worship God in spirit and in truth, and they come to learn of the gospel and such and such. But you must understand that no matter where your church is located or what part of the world it is, the enemy goes to church every day where the Christians go to church. He goes to church. He's very religious. And those people who are very religious who come to church along with the real body of Christ and the believers in the church, those are called, Christ refers to them as the tares. You have the wheat and the tares. Now, the wheat is garnishing and is trying to get out the gospel and is trying to abide much fruit because it's connected to the vine, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the vine. Okay? So if you're not connected to the vine of truth, which is embedded in Jesus Christ, then you are not part of the living organism of the true body of Christ. Okay, because Christ does not have a bunch of confusion, a bunch of pantomime, and all kinds of liars and all kinds of mess going on in his church. But it's the job of the enemy to infiltrate the church, especially try to get next to the leaders, try to get confidence in the leaders, and then after he gets confidence in the leaders, tries to more or less persuade the leader to go a certain direction that person suggests, but it's not really what Christ wants. Now, you have to be very discerning, and you have to be very patient and have God choose your leaders for you. Just because you have a church, you can't just go out here and pick anybody and say, well, I'm going to go get A, B, C, or Meeny, Miny, Mo, and I'm going to make them a leader in the church. Okay? People who are leaders in the church have to be proven first. They have to be proven by the Spirit of God whether they are worthy for the office. You just can't walk into an office, and you just can't go into a church and be elected to some office, okay? So I'm just briefly giving you a highlight of what the churches are in terms of these seven churches. They had a whole lot of worldly characteristics, and that was because they had tares that were sown among the wheat in them, which was causing that, all right? So don't think that don't use an excuse. Well, I'm not going to any of these churches because some of them people in those churches not right. Yeah, sure, of course. There's no perfect church. In any church that you go to, you're going to find people who don't conform, to the dictates of Christ. Okay, but you can't look at them. You can't concentrate on that, and you can't let your attention be drawn to that. You have to go to church as God has told you to do, but you just fellowship and worship with everybody in spirit and in truth. Those people who do all those deeds and try to bewitch people and lies and all kinds of stuff and distractions, those people are going to come into accountability one day. And they're going to have to see Jesus for themselves and give a good reason why they did all that nonsense, okay? So that's not your problem. Let God handle that. All we're supposed to do is we're supposed to just walk circumspectly as he would have us to walk, and we're supposed to walk as God would have us to be and say and do, okay? Jesus Christ, and I said the church is a living organism, God uses our He uses our faculties. He uses our tongues. He uses our mouths and our spirits so that we can get the gospel out, okay? And the enemy also has a group of people who are not interested in the gospel sword of Christ, whom he uses to do the opposite. So when you see things that go contrary to Scripture through the personality of the individuals, you are not supposed to become upset. You must understand the warfare that we have, what you have to deal with, what you have to contend with, and what you must know. Okay? So that's just a little of what we are going to get into today, and without further ado, I now give you Pastor Mina.
Praise our God. Isn't God wonderful? He just have a plan and solution for the people of God, and Elder, we just got into it. I want him to continue, but amen. But he got into the seven churches, and he named the seven churches, amen. But I want to emphasize today the eighth church. Number eight is new beginning. So we know that Jesus Christ is the church for today in the 21st century in the Western Hemisphere. So we don't want you to get mixed up. Now, where do you get that from? But we're going to give you some scriptures, and we're going to get into it. We really want you to get into it because somebody's going to receive a miracle after this message. Praise God. Somebody's going to be delivered from this message. Amen. Because God is revealing the revelation knowledge to his people, to his leaders, those that will come in alignment with him, those that are partnership that has an alliance with God. Amen. An alliance and a partnership with God is nothing but the covenant of God. See, there's no way in the world that you can know anything about the covenant, the benefits of God, if you never got into the Word of God, if you never, amen, had a chance to talk with God and let the Word of God penetrate so God could speak to you. Because God wants to give you more, and he has so much he wanted to give you. But we're gonna try to start from the foundation, bring it up to this point. Amen. So he got in the book of Revelation, the third chapter in the eighth verse, and then we're going to come to Psalms 51 and 5, Matthew 16 and 18, the book of Nehemiah, the eighth chapter, the 10th verse, and, of course, Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter and the 30th chapter. Now, we don't cover it all. You have a chance to read. That will be your study. I promise you it will set you free. So we're coming from the book of Revelation, and it says, you know, after Jesus, after God had to the forefront about the faults and the things that was going on with the churches. Now, we are the eighth church. Again, I'll repeat, we are the eighth church. We are the church of the dispensation of innocence. What do you mean by that? Well, the thing about it, Psalms, David said it best. Psalms 51 and 5, he said, in sin, my father, my mother conceived me in sin. So we would become innocent at the time. We were innocent. We didn't know how we got here at first. We didn't know anything. We didn't ask to come here, but we got here. Amen. So we have become innocent until we expose to many things. And so you have to realize, well, how are we being exposed? It's the way you've been brought up, the way your parents brought you up the way they taught you when you was a young lad and you grew up, amen, the certain things that God require from the parents, from that mother, from that father, amen. If we would do it the way God has laid down the foundation, amen, praise God, you will know the steps and you will know the Lord your God when you become a certain age, amen. But what happens, many times the foundation has been destroyed. Many times the foundation, amen, has been interrupted by the enemy. So we want to bring out this because this is, we have to carefully tell you this simply because it's so important. Because there is a link. There is things that God is upset and things that are an abomination unto the Lord. And we must bring back the link, the missing link. Or you could say whoever dropped the ball. We have to put things back together again. Amen. God said to Paul, amen, praise God, when Paul ministered to the different churches and Paul written to the church and visit those churches, he told Timothy, he told Titus to be strong in the Lord and be, you know, mighty in the Lord. Amen. God wants you to be strong and be steadfast and unmovable. But he told Titus, he said, go into Crete and set things in order because everything is in chaos and everything is in a mess. And then sometimes we back up because we don't want to deal with that. But look, it's your flesh that's backing up, don't want to do it. But you is not going to do it. It's the God that's in you that's going to do the work. So let's go to Revelation for your consideration, the 3rd chapter and the 8th verse. And listen what it says, because God has been dealing with me. First I had this dream. I'm not going to tell a dream at this moment, but in the dream, this word came to me when I was in the dream. So it says here, I know your works. See, God said, I know your works. I know your performance. You are a work in progress. I know the progress you have carried out thus far. See, God knows your heart. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in your thoughts. He knows your character. Amen. Praise God. And when we are seeking God, when we are reaching out to God, and we are a work in progress, God make us all over. See, that's why we said we come into a dispensation of innocence. We know nothing. We have no clue. But it's up to our parents to teach us and teach us the way of the Lord. Well, how do you know? Well, let's go to the book of Deuteronomy and listen to what God said to the parents. Now, you know, the child is innocent. They don't know no better, okay? But God holds the parents responsible to teach that child, to bring them up in the way of the Lord. Now, listen to what it says in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. And it says, now it came to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God and do observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obeyed the voice of your God, your Lord. Blessed be he that's in the city. Blessed be those that's in the county. Blessed be those, you know, the fruit of the hand, and so on and so on. And we're just not going to read that whole thing, but when you get a chance, just read the whole thing. When you're obedient, when you have obeyed God, when you have kept his commandment, when you have observed, amen. And now what's happening to you as they teach and they have taught you, you're supposed to come out to be a brand new person, okay? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become brand new. So therefore, if we are born again of the water and of the Spirit, now mind you, born again of the water and of the Spirit, okay? So therefore, after we are born again, then we, look, then the manifestation of God, things begin to change in your life, in your heart, in your mind. And because, look, let me tell you something. Don't fool yourself. The enemy has blessings too. But the only difference is in the blessing of the enemy, he doesn't have it long. It's not his from the beginning. You may have a whole lot. You may be rich, or you may have a lot of money, or maybe you think you all that in a bag of chips because you're driving a certain car, a certain house. But let me tell you something. When you leave this earth, and everybody knows that, when you leave this world, I promise you there will not be no U-Haul bringing anything to your grave. I promise you're going to leave everything behind because it was never yours from the beginning. Why am I sounding so hard? I'm trying to get the message to you because I know how nasty and how evil and deceiving the enemy is, because he come to kill, steal, and destroy. And he is a magician. He knows how to display and deceive you, you know, in the mind, amen, and he knows how to capture, amen, praise God, your attention, amen. You got to realize you have to grow up and mature in the Lord. Once you grow up and mature, you'll begin to know the difference between right and wrong. God will bless you with the gift of discernment. God will lead you and guide you. See, this is what the world doesn't have. It has no covenant. It has no alliance with God. It has no partnership with God. It has nothing. It's just gone on its own values. They think money is everything. Money is not everything. Money helps. I promise God made it all, but God meant for us to utilize everything correctly. And so we become the eighth church. You say, well, how did we become the eighth church? Well, let's go to the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, praise God, the 18th verse, when Jesus said to the disciple, after all the works that he had done, they walked with him, they talked with him. It's the same thing today. God opens doors for us. He blesses. He keeps us in good health. He gives us success. He blesses with favor and people in our lives. And you know what? We still don't know who he is. And Jesus said to the disciples then, he said, who do men say that I am? In other words, who do you think I am? Some said Elijah, some said the prophet. And they said all kinds of things. But listen to what Peter said. Listen what Peter, what God revealed to Peter. See, when your heart is right, God can deal with you. God can give you the answer. You see, God said never study or get upset or get blown out of proportion or out of character, amen, when things happen and it doesn't go your way, because God will give you. He will give you the plan. He will give you, amen, pray, instruction. If you keep calm and listen and hear what the Lord is saying. So when Jesus, listen what Jesus said to the disciple when he asked the question, because it's a shame that, you know, he don't walk with them and talk with them, and you still don't know my name, you still don't know who I am. I mean, that is just sad. That is just one sad situation. So, you know, the thing about it is they walked, they saw the miracles. They didn't just see Jesus just talking. Jesus actually opened eyes that were blind. Let me tell you something, born blind and opened up eyes. God was making a lane, amen, growing out legs and limbs and giving people teeth. And I mean, God was working miracles that no man can work. The doctor can't even help you. The doctor can't even fix it. So Jesus did these things, and they still didn't know who he was. So he said to them, Jesus answered and said unto them, said, blessed are you, Simon, Bojona. For flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. See, I'm trying to get over you, know the difference between the world kingdom and the spiritual kingdom, because there is a difference. Because the world loves its own, and because Satan is the prince of the world, and he is manipulating and trying to hold on to it himself. He can't even hold on to himself, but he deceives so many, thinking that they are God and they, you know, that they got a whole lot and life is going to just treat them just beautiful. But you know what? You can have everything you want. Let me tell you something. If you want unhappy camper, your soul, let me tell you something, you are one unhappy person. Because if you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have nothing. You have no peace. You have no joy. You have no happiness. You have a house, a beautiful home, costs millions of dollars. Some of you got mansions. Let me tell you, some got $300,000 homes and still unhappy and can't understand why you're so unhappy, why you got great jobs and God bless you with promotion and jobs and money and you just got everything in the world, but you still unhappy. This is what was happening to the church in the Revelation. If you read the Word of God, and let's go back to Revelation, because I want to get into this, because the way God dealt with me on this, he was saying this is the eighth church, the church of Jesus Christ, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we're the eighth church. Amen. Praise God. But look, let me tell you something. God have an ought with the eighth church. Praise God. And what is this ought? Well, this ought is that your strength is small. Oh, my God. Yeah, because he said the joy of the Lord is my strength. If you have no strength, you have no joy, you have no peace. Why? Because you let the world get into you. Because you are so concerned about the world and the things, the tangible things that's in the world. And it's got you saturated and you're soaking and drowning in the world. You got to know the difference. You got to know, amen, praise God, amen, when God wants you to have something, and when God wants you to stop, to hold off, don't move too fast. But what happened is when we come through the stage of the dispensation of innocence and we are not taught, this is what happened to us. The enemy comes in like a roaring lion, seeking and destroying and pulling apart, just bringing unhappiness, He's doing everything to steal your soul. Your soul is the most important commodity. Let me tell you something, the most precious thing that you have ever had that God gave you. Because you know why? He can never, ever go back through the blood of Jesus. He can never receive that position again. He had it made. He had it going on. He was beautiful. God gave him position. He had power. He walked on the stones of fire. Let me tell you, this demon was looked up on the highest mountain. And then you're going to tell me that you're going to exalt your throne above God's throne. Something let you know right then there was something wrong with him then. Because if God created him and made him, what can he do with God? Okay? So let's go a little bit further, because God said, look, I know your words. I know your character. I know your hidden agenda. I know why you do what you do. But God wants you to purify yourself as fire. God wants you to get rid of it. He said, look, he told us, he said, look, casting down evil imaginations. He tells us, look, every weight and every sin that beset us, You've got to loose it and you can let it go. But you cannot, my friends, do it by yourself. You need God. You may try for a little while, but after a while, guess what? Your strength becomes very small. Now listen what God says. And listen to what he says now, because he said, I know your words. God said, I know your heart. I know everything what you do. God said, you've been purified. You've been praying. You've been crying out to me. You've been spending time with me. But God said, look, your strength is getting small now. You can't get weak now. This is not the time to get weak. So how do we build our strength? We have to build our strength through the Word of God. As we read, as we eat the Word, as we been edified by the Spirit, God, amen, renew your strength. He renew the power in you. He give you a, it's like a surge, amen, praise God. You need a jolt sometime, amen, praise God, and to be revived, amen. So this is what God's saying. He said, I've got an open door. Listen, he said, I got an open door that no man can shut. Now, you tell me in this world, this life that we're living in, you tell me this oversized Philistine, this demon that you're so afraid of, and this demon, amen, you think that's going to take everything from you without a fight with God. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. You get ready to lose the fight. You have already lost the fight. Because let me tell you, when you come up against a child of God, let me tell you, he said it right here in Revelation. He said that an open door that I set before you, but you have to be in right standing with God. You have to be in that alliance with God. You got to have that covenant relationship with God. You got to be in so much love with God that you are become as one. The Bible said, abide in me and I in you, and we are what? We become one. So we are the eighth church. When Jesus Christ, amen, went to that cross, amen, praise God, when they hung him on that cross, amen, praise God, and out came forth blood and water. He died for every one of us, every one of us. Everyone, I want to call some of your name, but God won't let me. I want to tell you, don't make the mistake that Lucifer had done in heaven. You see, it was war in heaven, and he got kicked out of heaven. They threw him out of there. And the Bible says, woe unto the inhabitants of this earth because Satan has been cast down like lightning. And he's coming, amen, praise God, to destroy your home. He's coming with deceitfulness. He's coming with all kind of hindrance, amen, all kind of witchcraft, black magic. Let me tell you something. That demon is working overtime. But once you get to know who he is, I promise you, just like it was war in heaven, it will be war. It will be war on this earth. And God is proud of those, amen, that took a stand and holding on. Because this is what Revelation said. I like this because God said the open door that I have can't no man shut. Can't no man, M-A-N, shut. Now listen what he says here. Listen to what he said. He said, I know your works. I set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. Listen to what he said. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, listen, who says that they are Jews, God said they are liars. They're coming in, look, they're trying to look like you. They're trying to dress like you. They're trying to act like you. Amen. But they are liars. They are liars. Don't be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that which you will also reap. Praise God. So be encouraged. You be encouraged. I want to tell you, be encouraged. And the only way you're going to be encouraged, you're going to have to get into the Word of God while you have a chance, because it's coming to a time that the Word of God is, let me tell you something, it's becoming a phantom. Amen. If you don't have the Word of God in your heart, if you don't soak in God now while you have a chance, let me tell you something. The flood is going to come and sweep you away, but you got to hold on to God's unchanging hand, because He is our superhero. He is our super God. He is our awesome God, undefeated, unmatchable God. Hallelujah. We praise God. Amen. Praise God. We want you to get in the Word and study. Sometimes you get in the Word and God deal with you a certain way that sometimes that's just for you. And then when you, amen, talking to people collectively, sometimes God said, no, you need to say this. Praise God. So we hope that you got something out of the Word of God. We pray for you. We pray your strength in the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. You had just enjoyed Push My Story. Everybody have a story to tell. Everybody's dealing with something or some phenomena, but I promise you, God will deliver you. Amen.